What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, your daily podcast covering the New York Yankees. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If you're a new listener to the show, hello and welcome. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode, which I'm telling you right now will be short. I am your host, Stacey Gottsoulias, and I'm a writer for Baseball Prospectus. You can follow me on Twitter at the Locked On Yankees account or at my personal account, Stace Gotts. You can listen to and subscribe to Locked On Yankees on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, Player FM, and pretty much every podcast platform available. You can also listen to the show directly on our website, Locked On Yankees. And finally, you can play Locked On Yankees on your smart speakers by saying play podcast Locked On Yankees. As always, you can email questions or comments to lockedonnyy@gmail.com, and I will answer them as best as I can. So today's episode is going to be short, like I said, because for some reason, everything that I spoke about on yesterday's episode is being written about today. So when I was looking things up to discuss, I was going through the list of articles that I saw on Google and thought to myself, I talked about that, I talked about that, I talked about that. Yep, that too, that, yep. So, there's not much to talk about today. So, hopefully, things will happen over the weekend. Monday's show will be jam-packed with info. I'm assuming that will be the case because CeCe is having his press conference tomorrow, the press conference where he will announce that he's retiring. At least that's what everyone's saying. So, like I said, not much to talk about. One thing we'll talk about, and I'm going to start off with this because it's just silly. In December, Adam Ottavino declared that he'd be able to strike out Babe Ruth. And I guess people got offended by this, which is really silly because he's probably right. If you were to somehow transport Babe Ruth in his prime to 2019 and have him face the kind of pitchers that MLB showcases right now, he would definitely strike out. And it wouldn't have to just be the upper echelon of pitchers. I think that pitchers who aren't even that great could strike him out because pitchers are bigger, they're stronger, they throw crazier pitches. He's seeing guys that he never would have faced in the 1920s. I mean, he played 100 years ago. The game has changed so much in the last 100 years. The game has changed a lot in the last 10 years, if you think about it. So I don't see why Ottavino felt the need to even walk back those comments and say, oh, maybe I shouldn't have mentioned Babe Ruth. The comment wouldn't have elicited the same response, obviously, if he just said some schlub's name from 1920. Or if he said, oh, I could strike out any pitcher from the any hitter from the 1920s. Like, what's the big deal? He's not wrong. So I don't know why people are, I mean, I get it. It's Babe Ruth. God forbid you say anything bad about Babe Ruth. But, you know, let's be honest here. Babe Ruth didn't face the same kind of competition that guys are facing now. He didn't face black guys. He didn't face people from Latin America and these big muscular guys, even the ones who didn't take steroids, who are just big because they work out and they're tall. And, you know, could you imagine Babe Ruth looking at Chris Sale and his skinny little body, but throwing the way he throws? He would be like, what the hell is going on right now? So I don't think Ottavino should have walked back those comments. It's silly. In keeping with our theme of talking about pitchers, Masahiro Tanaka started his throwing program earlier than usual, and he did it in an unusual place. He went to Australia with his teammates from Japan, and they did it because the weather in Australia is warmer than it is in Japan over the winter, which makes sense because it's summer down there. But I don't think Tanaka and his friends expected just how hot it was going to be in Australia while they were down there, because as we were suffering through polar temperatures, I shouldn't even say we, sure we had it on the East Coast, but the poor people in the Midwest who were dealing with wind chills in the minus 60s, they were dealing with the opposite of what Australia was dealing with. On weather maps, you know how they show the temperatures in rainbow colors and red is the hottest? It got so hot in Australia that they had to go beyond red and they put this ugly greenish gray color as the color showing the hottest temperatures in Australia, which reached in the 40s Celsius, which would be about 115, 120 here in Fahrenheit. So Tanaka and his friends may have picked the wrong summer to head down to Australia, but he made it out alive. He didn't die of heat stroke. He didn't get, bitten by some venomous giant spider that's the size of a puppy, because they also have those types of things in Australia. Honestly, I don't know why people go to Australia. I don't know how people live in Australia. People have told me about things that they've seen there, and I'm like, yeah, no, I will never, ever, ever go there. So anyway, he's back, he's safe, he's ahead of schedule, so look forward to Tanaka hopefully pitching well this year. Another pitching note, CeCe Sabathia will not be participating in fielding drills until at least March 1st, according to Aaron Boone, simply because of his right knee and the surgery he had on it in the offseason. They don't want to mess that up, because we don't need that. CeCe has enough issues. Like I said, he's having his press conference tomorrow. He'll probably tell everyone he's retiring, so the Yankees will probably want his farewell season to be as good as possible. So if you're going to practices, you will just see CeCe. I'm assuming he's throwing. All I saw was that he wasn't doing PFP. So be on the lookout for that. Up next, more stuff about spring training. But first, yesterday I spoke about Gary Sanchez and his commitment to having a great 2019. And yesterday he was showing people just how he was going to do it by bashing balls over the fence in BP. Both Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone were watching Sanchez during his BP session. And according to Brian Hoke of MLB.com, as Sanchez was bashing the ball over the fence, they exchanged knowing glances and nods and were like, probably thinking to themselves, hell yeah, if he's healthy, we're in a good spot. So, and like I said yesterday, Sanchez doesn't want to blame his bum shoulder on his bad 2018. And I think he should, but, again, players are prideful and they won't do that. So if his shoulder is healthy in 2019, look for a big year from him. James Paxton believes that he can throw 200 innings, even though he's never done that yet in his professional career. He also believes that because most of the injuries that he's had has nothing to do with any of the ligaments in his arms, and he's learned how to take care of himself better through exercise, that he can reach the 200-inning plateau, which would be a great thing for the Yankees. So let's cross our fingers and hope he does that. I will have more on Paxton on Monday. We have some numbers that I'd like to talk about, but I don't want to get into them today because today's going to be a short podcast and I want to go in depth about Paxton. So that'll be coming up on Monday. Look for that. Aaron Boone is very excited about the prospect of the 2019 New York Yankees bullpen, and with good reason, with the addition of the aforementioned Ottavino and Zach Britton coming back, Zach with a K, excuse me, the Yankees bullpen has a chance to be the best in baseball again. This is what Boone had to say. I think that versatility that has me excited right now because they're all a little bit different. You talk about bringing Ottavino in, the kind of righty-righty matchup that presents a problem. If you're a right-handed hitter against him, that's a problem. With Green and Dellen and their ability to get lefties out from the right side, obviously we have Chappie and Zach Britton healthy, and with the sinker ball he brings, we have a lot of different looks. Sliders, sinkers, guys who pitch four seams at the top of the zone, and Chappie who's Chappie at the end. We've got a lot of really good pitchers, but I think they complement each other really well, which is exciting for me. Does anyone else find it amusing that Chapman's nickname is Chappie, or is that just me? I don't know if you could tell while I was reading the quote, but I felt very uncomfortable calling him that name. In more pitching news, something just came across the wire, otherwise known as Twitter. Luis Severino and the Yankees. 4 years, $40 million guaranteed with an option. Now, this actually just happened on Twitter not even 3 minutes ago, so there's nothing beyond that being reported, so I don't even know how to get into it. Because honestly, when it comes to contracts and money, I just sit there and think, oh, great, someone got money. Other people know better than I do about whether it's beneficial for the player or beneficial for the team. I'm seeing varying reactions to the news. A lot of people are excited because they locked him up for 4 years. Other people are like, that seems like a team-friendly deal. Who knows? So let's see what the Yankees do next and with which players. Just as I said, there were no details. Here are some details. This is from James Wagner, who now covers the Yankees for the New York Times. I believe he covered the Mets last season or the last two seasons, and before that he covered the Nats. So follow him since he's a newbie on the beat. He tweeted, Luis Severino has agreed to an extension buying out his arbitration years per source. It's 4 years and $40 million pending a physical. There's a fifth-year option for $15 million. There's also a buyout of $2.75 million that's included in the guaranteed amount above. Severino, who will be 25 next week, was due for an arbitration hearing this morning in St. Petersburg. The extension avoids that meeting. Thank God. Remember yesterday I was talking about how I was worried about Randy Levine ripping Severino to shreds? That's not going to happen now. So, hooray! Now, I am also seeing tweets from people complaining that it seems to be a team-friendly deal along the lines of Aaron Nola's deal that came across the wire yesterday. Again, people are going to have different opinions about this. I think that we should be happy that the Yankees will have Luis Severino for those arbitration years. So let's just be happy, huh? And like I said, this is going to be a short podcast, so I'm going to close this out by saying I wanted to thank everyone for their support so far. I'm looking forward to this season. I am looking forward to bringing you a fun and informative podcast. I have some tricks up my sleeve, so it should be fun for you. It'll be fun for me. I'm looking to have guests on the podcast that I can interview, and maybe even looking for someone who can co-host with me a couple of times a week. So look forward to that. And again, thank you for your support. I really appreciate it. People are being really nice about this. And, you know, even though I've recorded a bunch of these episodes, I am still learning about the process of podcasting. So bear with me while I do that. But again, looking forward to this season, looking forward to recording these shows for you, and hopefully you will enjoy them. So that's it for today's episode of Locked On Yankees, which is brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I've been your host, Stacey Gottsoulias. You can follow me on Twitter at the Locked On Yankees account or at my personal account, Stace Gotts. And once again, you can email questions or comments to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. Now, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. I'd really appreciate it. So have a good weekend. Enjoy, be safe, and I will talk to you all on Monday.